Already it's our third Sabbath in our series of sermons on the I Am text of the Old Testament. These texts speak to us of the character of God. And we have seen thus far that Christ came, at least in part, to live in full color what these character traits of God look like in real life. We've also seen that God wants us to express these same character traits in our own lives. But this is only possible as we allow God to fill us with His character and overflow that character to those around us. It's not something that we can do ourselves. Thus far, we have seen that God is concerned. God is concerned. He sees us and all the struggles that we face, and He's concerned for us. He's not a distant God. He's not an aloof God, but a God who does see, a God who does respond to our needs. We saw last week that He is a compassionate God. His heart is soft toward us. He really cares about all that we're going through. We saw that what really draws out His compassion is when He sees us struggling like sheep without a shepherd. He sees the social, the spiritual, the political morass that we're all in, and He's filled with compassion for us. But we have seen that God responds to our needs. We saw in the book Christ Object Lessons, page 416, that the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of His character of love. This is why we're doing this series. We want to understand the character of God so that we can share that character and share that message of mercy to the world that we're living in. We read last week in page 419 that there is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world His spirit and character. There is nothing that the world needs so much as a manifestation through humanity of the Savior's love. All heaven is waiting for channels through which can be poured the holy oil to be a joy and a blessing to human hearts. This morning, let me share with you what Pastor Paul shared with his church members in Philippi about the process of receiving the character of God. We begin by reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient unto death. My friends, that's the goal of the Christian's life, having the mindset of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to see that this is not at all about earning our salvation, but rather because of our salvation. It is evidence that God's Spirit is living in and controlling our very lives. Our Old Testament text for this morning, the I Am statement we're looking at, is Leviticus 11, verse 44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. There have been those who have taken this text and read only a part of it and thought that God is calling us to make ourselves holy. And they go off into a quest to achieve or find holiness, thinking that this is what God has said for us to somehow accomplish. There have been some who have completely separated themselves from the world, living solitary lives of seclusion, separated from the world. It seems as though it is impossible to live a holy life if you're in the world, they say, so let's separate ourselves from the world so that we can become holy. And unfortunately, they've become of no earthly good to anyone in the process. Does God want us to be holy? Yes, He does. But how can we ever hope to achieve it? Is this our reason for existing? No. Is life nothing more than attempting to reach holiness and therefore reach God somehow? There are some who would say yes, but let's look a little bit closer at what God is telling us right here in this very verse. Leviticus 11:44, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Let's break that up and look at it carefully. God says, I am the Lord your God. Obviously, He's speaking to whom? Us, His children, the ones who are here worshiping today. He says, I am the Lord your God. He's not speaking to people who don't claim Him as their God, who don't recognize Him, is He? He's speaking to us. And He says, I am the Lord your God, and then comes this phrase, consecrate yourselves and be holy. Now, our human desire to accomplish something and do something to earn our salvation makes us read this wrong. We often equate the two steps, consecrate and be holy. That's the same thing. They're not. What does the word consecrate mean? Many of you don't know English well, so let's get out our dictionary this morning, okay? Webster's Dictionary says consecrate means dedicated to a sacred purpose. This is what our two young ladies did this morning. They dedicated themselves to a sacred purpose. And they sealed that dedication by being baptized. Now, it is the dedicating that we can do. We can dedicate ourselves, right? We can give ourselves to God. But is it the dedicating that makes us holy? Let me ask it another way. Are we holy because we have dedicated ourselves to God? Let's finish the text there. Leviticus 11:44, it says, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. I want to read this from a different translation this morning, from the New King James Bible. Let's read this verse. It says, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Does that help? What is it that makes us holy? You shall be holy, why? Because God is holy. And we have given ourselves to God, therefore we belong to God. Anything that belongs to God is holy. Does that make sense? Perhaps part of our problem is our definition of holy. Once again, let's look at what holy means in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster's dictionary's definition for holy says, to be devoted entirely to the work of the deity or the work of God. Or the work of the deity, having a divine quality. Being devoted entirely to the deity or the work of the deity, or having a divine quality. That's what holy means. Holiness is being entirely devoted to God. It's not a state of sacredness or of arriving at a certain point of sinlessness. It is simply being devoted entirely to God and to God's work. Let me illustrate this from the creation week. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. Making the Sabbath holy, as Webster's definition of this means, that it is devoted entirely to God, right? The Sabbath is holy because it is God's. It's devoted to him. This is why God reminds us in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, in the middle of the Ten Commandments, he says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons nor your daughters nor your male or female servants or your animals nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We are to remember God by keeping the Sabbath day holy, or dedicating it to him, because it is his and it is holy. God says, if you will give yourselves entirely to me, dedicate or consecrate yourselves for my holy use, you will be holy because I am holy. God said, it is because I am holy that you now are holy. If you have dedicated yourselves to me, you belong to me. You are my property, and you are holy because of that. Because whatever belongs to me becomes holy. It's not because of anything we do other than giving ourselves to God. When we become his property, whatever belongs to him is holy. Whatever he possesses is used for his holy purposes. It's not something you achieve. It is something God has made you. He says, you are holy. You are my holy people. Consecrate yourselves and be holy. As Christ finished his ministry here on this earth, he prayed for you. In fact, the night he was arrested and tried and sentenced to death, he prayed a very special prayer to his Father about us. Did you know he prayed for you? Let's read a part of that prayer. John chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Down in verse 13, continuing on that prayer, he says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word. Your world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now it's coming to us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There we are. Christ is praying for us. His prayer included us. What is he praying for? He obviously knows we're going to go through some rough times, right? He obviously knows we're going to still be in this world. He doesn't say, God, take them out of the world. But he says, keep them, Father. Keep them from the evil one. Protect them. But specifically, he states that he's not asking the Father to remove us, but to sanctify us. The part of the prayer that really speaks to my heart this morning is that part where he says, sanctify them by the truth. As your word is truth. You sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What is he praying for there? Once again, let's get into Webster's Dictionary, okay? Webster's Dictionary for the word sanctify is to be set apart to a sacred purpose. To free from sin, to purify, to impart or to impute sacredness. Sounds like holiness to me, doesn't it, to you? Jesus says, I am sanctifying myself so that they can be sanctified. He's asking his Father to sanctify us. He says, for them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. He's asking his Father to make us holy, to forgive us of our sins, to set us aside for a holy or sacred use. Pastor Paul, in talking to his church in Corinth, has this to say in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit dwells in you now. You have become a vessel that God is using. You have become a holy vessel to be used by God. Use your bodies for God's glory. That price that Pastor Paul referred to back there was specifically speaking of the sacrifice Christ was making that very night when he prayed for you. He died to make it possible for him to sanctify us. He died so that he could forgive us of our sins and create a brand new heart within us. Each one of us here this morning, he died so that he could make you holy, just as he is holy. Peter describes who we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? That God has called us out of sinness, out of darkness, out of all the evils of this world, and he is calling us and making us holy so that we can worship and serve him. May we be the holy people God has chosen us to be. May we share his mercy, his grace to those we meet each day. Remember, as I've told you before, God has placed you where you are to be his hands, his feet, his mouth, to represent him to a world that desperately needs him. In your workplace, in your home, in your community, God says, you are my holy influence.